From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
And welcome to the Disc Golf News for August 30th, 2004. I'm Brian Sullivan. Coming up this time, exciting races in Portland last weekend. We've got results for you from the Beaver State Fling. Plus, Mike Worm Young has some tips for improving your driving accuracy and distance in this week's 60 Second Clinic. We'll give you a preview of the first big September event. It's the West Virginia Open. And a five-time women's world champion. Yeah, Elaine King is here. She'll talk with us about international travel, collared shirts, and amateur disc selection.
Often that means that the amateurs are throwing discs that are more overstable than they can handle at that point in their game.
It's PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Discovering the World. You can discover them at dtworld.com and Discraft. You'll find them at discraft.com.
Since 1979, Discraft has designed and manufactured tournament-quality flying discs for all disc sports. Our disc golf line is second to none. From beginners to world champion pros, disc golfers everywhere rely on the quality, consistency, and durability of every Discraft Pro Golf disc. Discraft, the world leader in disc sports.
The average disc golfer's new secret weapon is the Flash Maximum Distance Driver. Available now from Discraft and your local disc golf retailer. The Mondo Shooters were in Portland, Oregon last weekend for the Beaver State Fling. Results coming your way, beginning with the Masters Division, where who gets mentioned more often than not this year in the Masters Division? It is one world champion, Brad Hammack, and he hands it to him again. He's going to win this one by nine over the newly crowned Disc Golf Hall of Famer, Jeff Lisman. He takes second place. Tom Embry taking third. To the Women's Division, where it's all about the Burl. She's got a big lead until the final nine. Ruth Steele comes out, both guns blazing, and shoots the lights out. She's going to win this one by a single stroke. Most narrow margin in the history of the world. Okay, that's an overstatement. However, Ruth Steele is your winner. Carrie Berlager, second place. Atlanta's Courtney Peavy takes third. Now to the Open Division, where it was all about Barry Schultz throughout the entire event until the final night. David Felberg said, hey, I better get something going here. He shoots five better than Schultz in the final nine. They end up tied up, going to a playoff. Schultz on the second hole, birdies it. He is your winner. Felberg, second place. Lane Mason takes third. Now, tournament director Teresa Ballinger had this to say about Ruth Steele's big finish.
She ended up taking the win on the final hole and came down to the putt. She made her putt.
Time now for the 60 Second Clinic. Now, we should all work on our putting. That's my mantra. Work on your putting. However, it's much more fun, much more exciting to work on your driving. I mean, after all, that's where all the oohs and the ahs come from out on the course. Well, in the clinic this week, professional disc golfer Mike Worm Young has some tips to help you improve your driving.
If you want to improve your drives in the game of frisbee golf, one of the best ways to improve your drive would be lean into your shot. Leaning towards your line and leaning into your shot towards your hole allows you for less mistakes. Anybody that pulls, if you're a right-hander and you pull to the right, one of the biggest reasons would be probably that you're either standing up too straight or you're leaning backwards. Another key to the drive is seeing off the tee the whole line, but then when you're throwing, you only want to really see half the line. About half the line is all you want to see. You want to see your angle through half the line and then let the disc do the rest of the work on the rest of the half of the line.
Professional disc golfer Mike Worm Young has won multiple Super Tour events over the years. He's also a former Divisional Doubles World Champion. Coming up, we'll talk with another World Champion. An extended conversation with Elaine King is next.
Disc golfing should be inexpensive and fun. Discovering the World wants nothing more than to help you have fun. They offer a wide variety of disc golf and PDGA products. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Orders ship within 24 hours, and there's a retail location open 7 days a week to deal with you personally. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com to see the full selection available now from Discovering the World.
Hi, this is Des Redding, and you are listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture this week, before Juliana, before Des, before Birgitta, there was one woman who struck fear most often in the hearts of women disc golfers. Five-time Women's World Champion Elaine King of Ontario, Canada. We had a chance to sit down and spend some time with Elaine this year at Worlds. Elaine King, welcome to PDGA Radio.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your history. If there's a new disc golfer out there who maybe is just getting involved in the sport, they've never heard of you, tell us who you are, where you came from.
Well, I started playing disc golf in 1983. This summer, I married my husband, Eric Vandenberg. We were unaware of disc golf at the time. About 2 months after we were married, we saw a poster advertising the Toronto Island Open. And we went down to the tournament to see, I guess, freestyle. And we saw golf. And my husband immediately fell in love with golf. He is a frisbee player, but had been frustrated by the fact that you need a partner to play with if you're doing freestyle, and you also need a partner of similar ability. Whereas golf, you can play on your own, you can play with a group, you can play with a group of differing abilities, and you can all play your game and have a good time. So the next weekend, we were out there with our 110-gram pro models, playing the Toronto Island course in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
And did you actually participate in the tournament?
No, we were spectators in 1983, but in 1984, my husband started competing, and I felt enthusiastic enough to compete in 1985. It took me a while to warm up to the sport, I must say. It was not a sport I had any particular obvious talent at for the first couple of years. I didn't have much arm strength, and it was only really my husband's persistence in playing this sport that gave me the will to do it, because if I wanted to see him, I realized I'd have to start learning to play disc golf. I started doing some weight training to give myself a little more arm strength, therefore a little more distance, and that was a good plan because that worked quite well. And then, you know, as with anything, with time, you do get better at something if you're putting the right effort into it.
I find this very interesting because you say, I mean, you are, you know, you're one of the most accomplished disc golfers on the planet, yet you're telling me that it took you a couple of years to really get interested in disc golf. So let me ask you this. Do you think that more women would be playing the sport today if there was someone that they, you know, could shoot with, could encourage them and get them to the point where they were actually finding the success they were looking for and would actually, you know, develop a love for the game?
It's certainly very important to have a supportive peer group to enjoy the sport with and to feel that you are truly one of the gang, even though your shots only go 100 feet. And, you know, I used to feel so badly playing with the guys because they'd be shooting, you know, way up towards the pin, and it would take me about literally three shots to get there. And I just had a wonderfully supportive group who were in no time rush. They didn't care how long it took. They were quite comfortable to wait till I threw and finally got to where they were on their first shot. And that made me want to pursue the sport because I was just very comfortable playing with that group. And that may be something that players, particularly women, have a hard time finding is a group of peers that they can just go at their own pace and not feel that they're holding the group back or that there's any reluctance to have them along.
So you began playing in 83. By 85 or so, you were developing, you know, some serious interest in the game. When was the point when you thought, you know, I'd really like to try to be world champion? And when was that thought, and then how many years until you finally achieved that goal?
Well, although I started competing in 85, that was certainly at an amateur level, although women's amateur did not exist. There was just women as a competitive group. In 1987, Eric and I decided that we would start doing some serious touring, and we hit about, I guess it was about 13 tournaments, and we started doing some traveling and found it a wonderful experience to go to new courses, meet new people. And in 1987, they had a World Cup series. And in Peru, Indiana, there was a tournament where there was just a huge number of women. I think there were 32 women. And I ended up winning that tournament, and it was absolutely the most exciting disc golf experience I have ever had, even including winning world championships, because I didn't know I had the ability to win a big tournament. And it was a surprise to me. And it was just, the whole thing was kind of unreal. I didn't really know that I was winning the tournament until someone told me with two holes to go that I was actually ahead. And I thought, okay, well, that's really cool. But I'm sure Vanessa Chambers, who was the world champion at the time, will do something in the next two holes. And I just felt very confident that Vanessa would win it. And I ended up hanging on. And after I sank my last putt, I had the absolute feeling of walking on air. I'd never really experienced that, but it actually felt like my feet were not touching the ground. So I think that's the most exciting thing, is doing something that you didn't think you were able to do. Nothing beats that.
Your world championships came in what years?
91 through 94 and 1997.
Who beat you in 96 and who beat you in 98?
In 1996, I believe it was Becky Powell who won the Women's World Championships. That was the second year in Port Arthur. In 1998, it was Juliana Korver.
And since that time, you and Juliana have been doing battle every year, back and forth. Sometimes you win it, sometimes she wins it. Tell me your thoughts about Juliana Korver.
Juliana has a very strong, well-rounded game. She can throw the hyzer, the anhyzer, the straight shot. She has great distance. She can throw a long ways low to the ground, which is something that I've been working on and find it more difficult to do. And then in the last few years, Juliana has developed a roller, which she will pull out occasionally, which she has used to great effect. Very, very strong competitor.
You and your husband, Eric, live in Ontario, Canada. Are there any special challenges not living in the United States but playing most of your tournaments down here?
It's a challenge being at the northern end of the disc golf tour, which Toronto really is at the northern end. There is very limited women's participation in the pro division in the immediate area where I compete, the Can-Am region. And in order to get to a women's competition where there's top players, I generally have to travel 5 hours or more, and that would be south into the States. Getting across the border has always been somewhat time-consuming. You never know how long a border crossing will take. But, of course, in recent years, with the increased security at the U.S. border, it has taken longer and longer to get across the border. And, in fact, that's one aspect of traveling that I have to deal with, is spending an hour or so waiting in line at the border. Fortunately, I've not had any issues with customs and immigration, but you have to certainly be very careful nowadays. We used to travel with friends, for example, across the border to tournaments. I'm not sure that I'm comfortable doing that anymore, just because if there was any issue with someone I was traveling with, who I might know just casually, that could potentially reflect on me. And not only would that affect my ability to come to the States to play disc golf, but for my full-time job, I need to do international travel. And it's very important that I not have any notations at my name when it appears on the screen at a border crossing. So, yeah, we used to just go down carpool, go with all kinds of people to tournaments in the States. And I think people are probably a lot more careful these days traveling internationally.
The PDGA is always changing, it's always growing, it's always evolving. Is there one issue right now that the PDGA has been dealing with or looking at that you have some thoughts on?
At the World Championships this year, 2004, there is a mandatory player code that players must wear a collared shirt or a mock turtleneck type shirt. I don't really understand what the latter one means, but most players are wearing collared shirts or being asked to run out and buy one. I'm not sure that a collar magically gives a respectability to the sport. And in fact, when I watch some of the male players trying to compete in their collared shirts, they're of a style with a drop shoulder that often requires the player to hike up the shirt on his shoulder before he putts. And men's shirts are particularly bad for this because the style nowadays is very loose fitting. And I think actually the collared shirts in many cases hinder a player's ability to perform at their best. And that's not what clothing should do. Clothing shouldn't be a status symbol, but unsuitable for your sport. Clothing should be suitable for the sport you are playing. People who are running the 100 meter do not wear collared shirts. Just because golf players find them comfortable and suitable doesn't mean it's automatically the clothing of choice for disc golf. Now, I certainly agree that players should be in clean clothing without holes in it, without offensive logos, etc. But I think there's a wide variety of athletic clothing that looks very professional and is comfortable for the player, which is a key aspect of performing well.
The fun question for me, because I'm always curious, what is in your bag these days? What are you throwing?
I putt with a magnet. I do approaches with either a Comet or an MRV, depending on the distance of the shot. I have lately started using a Z-Storm, which I'm liking very much, especially for low approach shots, because that has a lot of glide to it. For driving, I'll use XLs and Cyclones, and I'll typically carry some fresh stable ones and some beat-up understable ones. Always carry a Z-Cyclone for heavy wind, and a 150 class Cyclone for throwing with the wind. And then depending on conditions, I might carry a ZMRV and ZXL if it's very windy, so I can have something that handles wind for approach shots and drives better. And that's pretty much it.
Last question. This is one we ask most, if not all, of the top disc golfers, and that is, you see a lot of amateur disc golfers out there. You see them making a lot of mistakes. What's the one mistake that you see most often that you think, if corrected, could turn that player's game around or at least improve it greatly?
I think a lot of amateur players are throwing discs that their disc golf idols throw. They say that, you know, person X throws this type of disc, so I should throw it. And often that means that the amateurs are throwing discs that are more overstable than they can handle at that point in their game. And not only does that mean they're actually losing distance when you have something that's too overstable for you because it cuts left and you lose distance at the end, it also makes it harder for players to play tight courses because they're used to doing a huge S-curve and don't ever learn how to throw straight. So I would say to players, really consider how much snap you put on the disc, and if you're not throwing a disc that you can throw dead straight, then you may be throwing plastic that is not suitable for you, and dial down on the overstability and find a disc that suits your game at the moment.
Five-time women's world champion Elaine King, thanks very much for taking some time for us today.
My pleasure.
Elaine King is a five-time world champion in the pro women's division. We spoke to her at the World Championships this year in Des Moines. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. This week, thousands, perhaps millions, of New Yorkers are getting out of town. Of course, the Republican National Convention is there this week, and with that comes a lot of slowdowns in the traffic, and you got to slow down for the security stuff, and so they're just, bah, they're headed out of town. Many will go south, and many will see an increased number of disc golfers in the West Virginia area, because this weekend it is the West Virginia Open in Paw Paw, West Virginia. Now, this event features a couple of courses called the Woodshed and the Whippin' Post, and if you think it's going to be easy going, you would be wrong. The tournament director for this one is Tony Ellis.
We've been hosting it. This is our 11th year.
Now, your defending champs this year are who?
In the Open Division, it's Craig Kangloff. In the Masters Division, it's Dave Devine. And in the Women's Division, it's Angie Martin.
Always tough players, and I expect it'll be a tough competition again this year. Now, Tony, your courses here, the Woodshed and the Whipping Post, these are notorious courses for players who have not yet experienced what lies ahead. Tell me a little bit about both.
Both courses are long, over large rolling fields, and the woods holes are pretty tight. and definitely long. Woodshed measures out right under 7,900 feet, and the whipping post measures out close to 8,100 feet.
And for a winner in the open division this year, what kind of scores are they going to have to post?
Well, generally shooting in the mid-50s and the lower 60s, that's what it takes.
And for someone who hasn't been to this event yet, Tony, what's one of the things about the West Virginia Open that makes it unique?
What we're doing this year is everyone generally comes out and camps. Saturday night we have a large music festival. A bunch of musicians / disc golfers show up, play golf, and then jam in the evening. We're planning on feeding everyone this year. Through a couple of our sponsors. Would like to thank Innova with their candy fundraiser plastic. Great opportunity for us to generate money for our tournament. Would also like to thank Wooden U, Mark Susi, making unique wooden minis that has generated a lot of money for this tournament. Well, if you want to come out and enjoy yourself, we have a huge event, great players packs, opportunity to experience something that most other tournaments just don't have.
Tony Ellis is the tournament director for this weekend's West Virginia Open in Paw Paw. We spoke to him at his office in Fairfax, Virginia. And Tony asked us to remind you that not only is this event a USDGC qualifier, but they have declared in Paw Paw the year of the woman. This includes reduced fees for the ladies and $750 cash added to the pro women's division.
If you can't be in West Virginia this weekend, still plenty of things going on. September 4th and 5th, pros, you're going to the Southern National Championships in Mississippi, and in Napa, California, is the 10th anniversary Vintage Cup. Corpus Christi, Texas, hosting the Coastal Clash and the Hickory Classic in Hickory, North Carolina. Plus, Lewiston, New York, it's the Lewiston Labor Day Luau, and in Madrid, Iowa, the 16th Edgewood Labor Day Classic. Plus, the Oklahoma States in Tulsa, Denver, it's the Mile High Classic. In Beaumont, it's the DiscGolfStore.com Klein Golf Coast Championship. And in Bangor, Maine, the Gopher Ridge Championship. Plus, NVGO State Championships in Ludington, Michigan, the Badger Bash in Beatrice, Nebraska, Midwest Open in Lockport, Illinois, and in Trenton, Maine, it's the Havana Championships. More info 24/7 at where else? PDGA.com.
And believe it or not, we have come to the end. And that is the Disc Golf News for the week of August 30th. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Our sponsors are Discovering the World at DTWorld.com and Discraft at Discraft.com. Get out there, throw a bunch, because the summer is on the wane. Stay out of the shul and keep up in the fairways.